Hey, this is Kaylee Moore.
And this is Paul Jarvis.
Welcome to the Creative Class Podcast.
A podcast for freelancers.
Woohoo!
Yay! This season is sponsored by our friends at Flywheel, who've hosted our Creative Class website for years.
They're who we trust for reliable service and top-notch customer support.
They also take care of everything, from security to nightly backups to free demo sites.
Check out getflywheel.com/friends/CC and use the code CCPODCAST to get 50% off your first month of any plan.
Hooray.
I think it's really good to have a unique take and sometimes go against the general social norms. And I would generally refer to this as having a take. And I mean that in the sense of like having a take and having a stance that's a little different than the status quo. And so as a freelancer and as a person on the internet, you have this opportunity to leverage your unique voice and share your unique perspective as a business owner or as an individual like running a self-driven business. But a lot of people, self-included, really struggle with that. And so in this episode, I want to get into the nuts and bolts of having a unique take, the pros and cons of that, and maybe how to evaluate where you stand on this particular topic. So you're somebody who has oftentimes a unique take and you're not afraid to express it when it comes to the internet, when it comes to social media. So I would love for you to start and talk a little bit about why that is and like where your boundaries are. Again, boundaries.
Yeah.
Where your boundaries are around what you talk about and what you don't.
Yeah, I like this topic a lot. It's funny because I never consciously tried to have a unique take in any work I did, or even in initially, it wasn't a goal to like just have a unique take for the sake of having a unique take. I think for me, it was more just, these are the things that I believe are true. And even if they go against the norm of my industry or the norm of what other freelancers sell to clients, I'm going to try the other way. I'm going to try the way that I think is right. And not necessarily because I thought I was better or knew more than the industry that I was in, but more just because I felt like I think this other way can work. I think this, and it's mostly contrarian stuff. Like even my writing now, and I kind of like, I definitely lean into that super heavily now. But, and I was just before we started recording, I was showing you my freelance website from June of 2002.
Mm-hmm.
It's just scary because it's bad, but it's not that bad because it's a plain white website with really just a little bit of text on it and one color. And the color changed from green to pink, but it's not that different. Even in the writing, it's not that different. One of the messages on the About page, and this is from 2002, small and lean means affordability without sacrificing quality. I was writing Company of One, my book, in like 2002. And the design from 2002, by the way, was very much counter to where the web was. The web was very like bright and flashing and stuff happening and animations. And I was selling clients lean, simple, and minimal. And that was such a unique take. But the thing was, it benefited me as a freelancer because there was, I think, 37 Signals and maybe one or two other people, because they were 37 Signals at the time were doing web design. They weren't selling Basecamp. So it was a different day. But in having a unique take and in having kind of a counter argument to what could work, I was attracting clients that weren't just looking for web design and they're Googling web or using Alta Vista or whatever, like for web design, like trying to find a web designer. They were like, oh, if I too believe in this take, if I too believe that this is the truth for my business, then I want to find a freelancer who does this thing, not a freelancer who does really flashy or over the top design and make them pigeonhole themselves into what I want. I just want to find the person that does the thing that I want too. And that led to a lot of business for me.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And even in my writing, it's the same thing. Like I take a very different stance than most other people in the entrepreneur or freelance space. And I attract the people who think, oh, maybe the opposite could be true as well. So that was kind of how it all started with me, was it wasn't on purpose. It was just, I think something very different from everybody else. So I'm just going to lean into it.
I think that freelancers have a unique opportunity to do that in ways beyond that avenue too. You know, you talked about how because you stuck to this very specific type of design work that attracted that specific type of client. But I feel like it doesn't even have to be quite as work oriented. Like if there are certain things that you feel passionate about or that are part of your personal values and are things that maybe you talk about on Twitter or on Facebook or in the blog posts that you write, an example would be like if you are very into working with brands that have a giving back component. That's just an example that came to mind. If that's like a cause or a part of your business that you really are working to reinforce, I feel like that's something you can include elements of, I guess, in your discussions online, in parts of your website, like I said, in the content that you create on your website. And so in doing that and having that stance and having that commitment to this is who I am, this is what I believe in, you're going to attract some of the ideal clients that you're trying to work with. Maybe brands that have that giving back component or that really care about diversity or that really care about supporting female entrepreneurs. I think that that's a big part of freelancing and as of being an internet person, I guess, that people don't really think about. But there's a lot of opportunity around that. I think that there are a lot of risks associated with it sometimes too, and I want to talk about those a little bit. But I feel like there's this great opportunity for you to reinforce who you are as a person and what you believe in as part of your business.
For sure. And I think it's important that it's accurate. Like, I think it's important that the things that you have a unique take on are coming from a place of like, yes, this is how I truly feel. This is what I truly believe. Because nobody likes that person who's just like being a devil's advocate just for the sake of being different. Like that, I don't think works. Because I think we can all kind of see through it. Like we all have such good bullshit detectors
now. Oh, for
sure.
We
can see through that. So it has to come from a place of honesty or it has to come from a place of being able to back it up. All of the ideas that I have around business that I write about now are backed up with experience that I have, experience that other people have that they told me about, studies that I've read, and even in the design, like I could see that the style of design that I was doing for clients was paying off. I could see that this thing was working really well for them. I can see even in my own website how the style that I have is working out. So it's not just a matter of try to be the opposite of everybody because you'll stand out just for the sake of doing it. I think it has to come from a place of like integrity, but also a place of, can you back this up? Or is it just like, I have wacky ideas, everybody. Like I would like to share them.
And that's the thing. I feel like the internet is one of those places where people feel really brave and emboldened to share their opinions and to ignite conflict or get into it with you, essentially. And if you're not willing to back those opinions up and that take up, that's going to cause some problems for you and probably unnecessary problems. So I think that that's a good point to bring up. You have to be willing to back up your take and be fine with people calling you out that publicly disagree with you. And so for somebody like me, that is terrifying. Like I am a highly sensitive person. I don't like conflict. And for me, that's why I often keep my takes pretty mild, or I err on the side of not sharing or not getting overly political or not getting overly, I guess, engaged in back and forth with people online. And it's because I can't handle it. Like I take it super personally and it impacts my day, it impacts my mood. I can't let it go. And so that's something you have to think about too, as you consider whether or not this makes sense for your business. Are you comfortable with that side of it?
Yeah, and you're smarter than I am because I am too sensitive for that and I do it anyways. So
what happens? Like, how do you deal with it?
I don't know. I feel like a lot of times because I exist in public and my business is very much has a public aspect to it, I have to deal with everything from mild criticism. Like you and I were talking before we recorded. Mm-hmm. Somebody sent me an email about how I need to hire an editor to edit my book because it's really rough. And it's like, well, I had one of the best editors in the business in a publication that's been around for 100 years that knows mm-hmm. their stuff, do the book. But regardless of what you do, even if you don't take a strong side on anything, people are still going to criticize you, I think. And for me, it's always been like, if somebody's going to criticize me anyways, or if the internet is going to criticize me anyways, then I'd rather them criticize me for valid reasons. Like, I'd rather them criticize me for things I actually believe than just things that they think I am, or ways that I think I am, or things that they think I think. So I'm just like, whatever. I'm just going to, like, anything that I'm willing to be transparent about, I'm just like, I'm going to put that out there. And I'm going to, as well, I'm going to put that out there as soon as possible. And I think that that's important, because I think that as people start to consume the stuff that we put out there, and I guess in some ways there is, they feel like there's this relationship being built. Mm-hmm. And if you just all of a sudden start, like, one day just have like 50 tweets about politics where you've never ever tweeted about politics before, you're probably going to ruffle more feathers than if something that you just talk about, like, not all the time, but like bring up from time to time. It's the reason why I say shit in my welcome email for my mailing list. I intentionally put a swear word in my welcome email because sometimes swears come out of my mouth or come out of my fingers into words. And I don't want somebody to be offended like 3 years into reading my newsletter and be like, oh, you've broken the social contract that I thought I had with you, because not swearing is important to me, whereas swearing doesn't matter to me. And so I try to get things out early. It's just like why when I was doing freelancing, my website was always intentionally minimal when I was providing or when I was selling minimal websites, because I didn't want people to be like, whoa, what are you doing? Where's all the stuff on the page, Paul? So even in my newsletter welcome email, I list my controversial beliefs just because I'm like, I have a take. I'm pretty opinionated, especially in my writing. It's like, I'm going to list like the four top things that I feel like are semi-controversial beliefs. But they're not like, here's what I think about abortion and here's what I think about politics. Because I'm never writing about those subjects. Like, those subjects are never going to be written about by me. But they all relate to business, because what I do is I make a living writing about business, pretty much. Like, that's what I do. So it's about the topic that I'm willing to share. And I think that's important. I think that if we are going to have these unique takes or semi-controversial beliefs, they should exist for a reason. Like, if you're selling writing, you probably don't need to share your beliefs on something that has nothing to do with the thing that you sell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that's a good point. Freelancing is hard enough, so why not let someone else take care of hosting for your clients?
That's why Flywheel created a simple platform that makes it a breeze to build WordPress sites, collaborate with clients, and seamlessly offload the finished product, all from the same place. Trust us. With a WordPress solution this smooth, you'll have tons of time to book new freelance business.
So why do we think Flywheel is the best WordPress hosting for clients?
Well, those free demo sites are pretty awesome. That way you don't have to pay until you go live.
They also have easy to transfer billing to a client once you finish up the project, or you can get them to pay right from the start while you set things up.
So never worry about a client calling you at 2 a.m. because their site is down. Flywheel has servers around the world and tech on standby 24/7. They even back your websites up nightly and will clean up your WordPress site if it gets hacked.
Check out getflywheel.com/friends/cc and use the code CCPODCAST to snag 50% off your first month of any plan. And the big thing, the kind of overlying umbrella for all of this, is that yes, it's a great opportunity to have a take. There are definitely places where it makes sense, but there are definitely implications that go with it as well. And as we all know, the internet never forgets. So there are tools that can dig up old tweets like Wayback Machine. There are ways for people...
Even if you delete them.
Yeah, even if you get rid of them, you have to be mindful of the things that you're saying and the way that you're presenting yourself and your business, because they kind of go hand in hand when it comes to the internet, because there is a ripple effect on your career, on your personal life, on all kinds of things. So even if you're being flippant, or if it's something that you feel like is not a big deal, you just kind of say it in passing. Like, we see this happen with celebrities and athletes all the time, where it comes back to bite them in the ass, that they said something stupid or they said something joking and it wasn't appropriate. I mean, there's never an excuse for those things. So you have to remember that, yes, it needs to have a point. It needs to be something that you're willing to stand by. And it has to be something that you're not going to be ashamed of 3 years down the road when somebody digs that tweet up or that post on Facebook. So Yeah. I mean, I don't think either of us have run into like sticky situations around this, but it happens all the time. And it's so easy to look at social media just like, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm just like, it's just a tweet or it's just a, like a silly line in my email. No, the internet never forgets.
It doesn't. And I think humor is hard. Like humor is hard in real life, in real time, standing like in front of another person. Humor is hard, but that amplifies when it's like, oh, it's 140 characters. And like, I can't hear the tone of that person. So I don't like, it's hard to know, like, are you joking? Or especially somebody like me, I have such a dry, dry sense of humor that even like a lot of my angry, quote unquote, angry writing is a feeble attempt at humor. But some people think like, oh, I'm actually angry about this or I'm actually angry about that. I'm like, no, I'm trying to tell a joke. But like, that's a risk that I have to take right. Because humor is so hard and humor is so contextual. And I think humor is so rife with colloquialisms. Like humor works in certain groups, in certain parts of the world in such a different way than I used to get in so much trouble in school because my family's from England and the sense of humor in England is so much different than the sense of humor of other people from other cultures that like, it was so difficult to sometimes get, and I like to try to be funny. I'm not funny, but I like to try to be funny. And it's hard sometimes to make sure that you see like how something could be misconstrued because it's probably going to get misconstrued, but you just want it to not be misconstrued in like the worst possible way, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like that's a fine line sometimes when it comes to the unique voice that you're trying to share with your audience, whether that's in a newsletter or on social media, whatever it may be. We all have our quirks. And like you said, our humor and our comedy, and that translates for different people. My mom could watch an episode of The Office and that humor just doesn't hit for her. But for my dad, it's like rolling on the floor, hilarious. So there, you just have to keep in mind that there's such a wide spectrum of like what's funny and how things are interpreted. And while this might not be something you think about on a day-to-day basis within your freelancing business, it is something you have to consider as far as like, okay, I'm going to write a blog post today, or I'm working on some new messaging for my website, or I'm writing a welcome message to, you know, my email newsletter, whatever it might be. What are the things that you need to be mindful of when it comes to having a take? And how can you be more considerate to your audience, but also still remain true to who you are?
Have you read Seth Godin's new book, This Is Marketing?
I haven't. I need to.
Okay. Where I think this book relates to that is the way he kind of describes marketing. When I started to read it, it was like starting to blow my mind because I was like, oh, this makes so much sense. And he's like, one aspect of marketing is really just showing people that people like us do things like this. And it's that like marketing, thinking about it in that way, like marketing has such an aspect of tribalism in that regard. Cause it's like selling people like mattresses, the difference between like Casper and Lisa mattresses. It's like, well, what kind of mattress would a person like me buy?
Right.
Right. And I think that kind of speaks to the social norms aspect of this conversation that we're having. Because like, if people think that people like us don't talk about things like this, or people like us don't do things like swear, then if you do those things, and if you're going against social norms on those things, like business people aren't supposed to swear. I swear all the time. I can't help. It's not like I don't swear for the sake of swearing. It's just like, this is how I am as a person. I'm not going to apologize for that, but I also understand the ramifications of it is that some people are going to be mad. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make some people upset for saying things that I say or the opinions that I have about things like venture capital. I'm probably going to piss off some venture capitalists or some growth hackers because the things I write about are very anti those things. Yeah, I think that having these honest but counter views can be a difficult line to toe, and it sometimes isn't worth it. Like I even know, like just being honest, like the last year, I guess the last year up until last year, because this year I've now give zero fucks about it. But like for all of 2018, I totally watered down my views in the writing that I did because I didn't feel like I could mentally deal with the like standard level of backlash that my writing typically gets. I just felt like I just honestly could not deal with that in my mental space. So like I totally watered it down and it took me a while to kind of like work through that and deal with that. And now I'm back to like, okay, I'm just going to like do my thing. And as long as I'm being honest and I'm not intentionally trying to do anybody harm, then somebody doesn't like it, then that's their problem. And I feel like it comes down to when you create something and put it out into the world, it's kind of not yours anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I write an article or write a book and make that public on the internet, then it's everybody's. And however they feel about that thing, they're right because it's their thing. So if they dislike my book, they're right. They don't like my book because they think it's a shitty book. And that's the other thing about this is that like the same thing can mean the world to one person and mean the world in like the worst possible way to another person. But the thing is the same. Like the thing doesn't change from person to person.
Right.
So yeah, it definitely is tricky. And I couldn't deal with this last year. So I stopped having a very honest take on a lot of things or a very like Paul Jarvis take on a lot of things. Because it's hard, like it's hard to have that take sometimes.
Yeah, you have to be willing to tolerate other people's interpretation of said take. And it's not for everyone. And that's okay. I mean, if you're somebody like me who is scared of the internet, you do you. Like, just be honest with yourself about it. You know, just be honest about what you can tolerate and, you know, what is important to your business and what's important to you as a person. And just kind of take it on a case-by-case basis. It depends, you know? That's the answer to everything. It depends.
Yeah. So you definitely have a very non-controversial way of sharing. I agree with that. But like, I'm just curious, like, do you still catch flack for things intended or unintended? Like, do people ever have problems with the things you write about, the way you write, anything like that?
Very rarely. And I feel like it is because I keep it so mild. But the flip side of that is for me is that sometimes that's a struggle because sometimes there are things that I really want to talk about or that I personally care a lot about or that I would love to have a louder voice on. And because I'm not participating and sharing my thoughts, I'm letting the other people who are maybe on the other side of the equation speak louder and they're the ones who are being heard. And so by not participating and not sharing my take, I feel like I'm doing a disservice. And I'm almost letting people down by not knowing that I'm on their team, essentially, if that makes sense. And I feel like this relates a lot to like political issues within the US in the past, however many years it's been now. I don't know. I feel like it's just been a blur, but I stay pretty quiet on political stuff. And part of me is like, that's shitty. Like, speak up. If you're unhappy, you need to share that because people need to see that other people feel the way that they do. And so that's a whole other layer to this conversation is, how are you showing up for your people and your audience and the people who are on the same page as you? And are you letting them know that you're on the same team? And like, where is the line between does it matter or does it not? It's tough. Mm-hmm. It's really tough.
Especially in the States, because you immediately alienate half the population.
That's right. It's very divided. It's very divided.
Whereas here, like I can talk shit about the liberals and there's so many parties here that like I'm never going to alienate more than half of the people here because there's so many parties that it doesn't matter. And the parties aren't even as clear cut. So like I can love certain aspects of some political parties and just hate certain aspects of political parties. I feel like it's easier in Canada to at least be political.
Maybe I should move to Canada.
You can also have free healthcare.
Yeah,
if you'd like.
That'd be great.
Right. All right. Was there anything else before we wrap this episode up? I feel like this was a tricky conversation, but I feel like we could maybe high five ourselves.
High five to this conversation. I hope that other people listening are like, okay, that was great. I needed that.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast.
If you enjoyed it, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review there.
And be sure to check out our course, The Creative Class.
You can find it at creativeclass.co.
Yes.